Speak to us in the place that you find us. Lift us from the place that you find us. Deliver us from the place that you find us. And Lord, all we're saying is we may not be in the perfect place, but we are in a place that you can perfect us. Bring us up, bring us out, and then, Lord, bring us in. God, make us vessels worthy of repair, restoration. Fix our ears. Fix our minds and our hearts. And God, help us to do as Paul told Timothy, to engage in good warfare. That we can fight the good fight and win. And Father, I pray that as again I stand behind the sacred desk, it is my favorite standing place. It is the place I find my greatest joy. That, Lord, you would anoint me afresh. Pour into me that I might pour out among them. Speak to me that I might relay the message to them. Deliver us. And do it, Lord, right early. For this is the day. And God, we say thank you in advance. For it shall go well with us in this place. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from the unrighteousness of this world. That we would know now and live now the righteousness that is Christ Jesus. Lord, hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put your blessed hands together. Come on and bless the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is how we do it. Oh, yeah. There you go. Come on, bless him. Bless him. Come on, bless him. You've been waiting all morning long to lift up your hands and lift up your voice to get your shout on. Amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles. It's about 15 minutes after the hour. And I know that you've got some things to do today, and you're going to do them to the glory of the Lord. Amen. Amen. But we want to get our nourishment first. And as Dr. Dixon just said, we need it. Amen. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 in the New Testament of your Bible. And we're going to begin reading at verse 15. Romans 6, verse 15. I have a New Living Translation. Turn on your apps, your smartphones, your tablets. Pull up that Bible app. New Living Translation, you can pull up Message Bible, you can just pull up the Bible, amen? I don't know what version you got. And if those things are not working for you, grab that Bible in front of you, the old school version, and go to the New Testament book of Romans. Mm-hmm. And chapter 6, if you having any difficulty finding it, let's just save some time and go to the table of contents. Or ask somebody standing next to you, where is that? Amen. So we can get on with it. Amen. And here's what it says, beginning at verse 15 from the New Living Translation of Romans chapter 6. So since God's grace has set us free from the law, does this mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that whatever you choose to obey becomes your master? You can choose sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God and receive his approval. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you have obeyed with all your heart the new teaching God has given you. Now you are free from sin, your old master, and you have become slaves to your new master, righteousness. I speak this way using the illustration of slaves and masters because it is easy to understand. Before you let yourselves be slaves of impurity and lawlessness, now you must choose to be slaves of righteousness so that you will become holy. Oh, that's a shout right there. In those days when you were slaves of sin, you weren't concerned with doing what was right. And what was the result? It was not good. Since now you are ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Somebody ought to shout right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated in the awesome presence of God. I want to go back and lift up verse 19 as we set our foundation for preaching. And it says that previously or before, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led to ever deeper which led you ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. Previously, used to be, before, once upon a time, back in the day, what else? Is there another one I can use? You used to do that. But notice what he says in the transition of your life because of Christ Jesus. He says, now you must give yourselves to righteousness so that you will become holy. Can y'all do me a favor very quickly? I know y'all got to go. It's already 20 minutes past the hour. 5 minutes have gone by. But if you'll help me and fix a good smile on your face, some of y'all get over some things. Smile and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach. Old habits are hard to break. Amen. Old habits are hard to break. The text now lifts itself very quickly by saying previously or before, which suggests to us that there is a form of life to deal with. And so I thought about, I wrestled feverishly, that's the first word I ever said that. I wrestled rather deeply with what to do this week. Coming out of Resurrection Sunday, the preachers know, the deacons know, that there are stories that you can tell in the follow-up, the continuation of resurrection. And I thought about doing that, and I thought on all of the years I've been preaching and pastoring, that's usually what we do. We come out of the resurrection week, and we either catch those fellows on the road to Emmaus, or we catch those fellows out fishing or something along that line. But I thought that maybe we would look at ourselves. Let's make ourselves the gospel. And considering what Jesus has just done for us in the purpose, the purchase and payment, and the power that was the resurrection. That is the resurrection. Y'all missed the shout points right there. The purchase, the purpose, the payment, and the power of the resurrection. The sacrifice of Jesus was, in as much as anything, a prelude, or at least a precursor to break old habits. It is Paul who will tell us shortly that old things must pass away. Nudge your neighbor and say, you got to let it go. You sitting by somebody who won't tell you that. I'm telling you. What he says to us is that in light of what the Lord has done, and Dr. Dixon, it bothers me that it is only a few days removed from Resurrection Sunday, and some of us have already forgotten. We live our lives as if we are on a radio station. We play the hits and we put the hits away. But let's just remember, last Sunday, we were all excited and shouting that he rose. We're shouting that the Lord has gotten up early and with power. And a matter of fact, not all of us were shouting and excited, because some of us wasn't in church, but we'll leave it alone right now. But the fact of the matter is, just 7 days ago, we were so thrilled that the Lord is alive. In fact, we were thrilled and excited to know that Jesus was doing rather well for himself. And in fact, doing rather well for us also. Because again, we had the notion that if and because he got up, Paul said it to us last week, Deacon McKenzie, that all I wanted to know was the power of resurrection. Nudge your neighbor and said, I want to get up. Amen. I could run my rabbit right there and just talk about some of the things that we want to get up from, but I'm not ready yet. And the fact of the matter is that you and I are alive because of last Sunday. Now don't miss the shout, because You didn't just get up this Sunday and start. No, you got up Monday, you got up Tuesday, you got up Wednesday, you got up Thursday. And just like Grandma said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you got up. Every day of our lives is a repeat of the resurrection. Y'all missed the shout right there. Getting up ought to mean more than just putting your foots on the floor and brushing your teeth and combing your hair. You ought to thank God that you live in him. You ought to thank God that you got power in him. You ought to thank God every day of your life that the Lord is strong and mighty, and he is my life. So it is. So it is. We are resurrection evidence. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, I make this resurrection thing look good. I bring something to this. Amen. And so it is that I was thinking. I sat down and thought about it. I really did. Dr. Dixon, Reverend Uriel, I thought about it. And I said to myself, Pastor, I call myself that sometimes. I said, you're going to have to go this way. And here's why, because as I was getting ready to do the typical pastoral thing, this eerie notion came over me that maybe we ought to address life and habits. And let me tell you why, Reverend Muriel. I was reading John 21. Y'all know John 21. Though you've been in the Bible for a while, you know what happened in John 21. Simon Peter, after resurrection, after hanging out with Jesus, after being called one of the good disciples, Simon Peter did what folk do that he ought not have done. He went back to old habits. Okay, y'all ain't ready to shout yet. Five of y'all know that story, don't you? Simon Peter has gotten up in the morning. Jesus is alive. They know he's alive. They know Jesus said that there's an assignment on their life. They know that there's an anointing on their life. They know they've got authority in their life. And this boy abdicates all of that and says, I'm going fishing. And here's what happens, because you know birds of a feather flock together. Six of them said, we going too. Look at your name and say, what you going to do? I see it now. Deacon Walker getting up early and say, I'm going fishing. And Lewis, Starling, Tim, and the rest of that bunch say, we going too. Why are they fishing? For the wrong kind of fish. Y'all missed it. Simon Peter got up and said, I'm going fishing. They said, we coming too. And the Bible says, so they went out in the boat and fished and fished and fished and caught nothing. Tell your neighbor, if you do it wrong, you're going to come up empty. Boy, that's a shout. Listen. I'm trying to hurry. The Bible says that Simon Peter was one of the sons of thunder. You know Peter, James, and John. And Jesus, whom they thought was dead. You remember Simon Peter? Just a couple days ago, he racing on his way to the tomb. Get to the tomb, stick his head inside, breathing hard, saying, yep. He got up. Simon Peter with the rest of them, that Thomas boy, done wandered off, done ran down to Walmart, come back, and the Lord says, touch me right here. And the Lord said, y'all stay with me now. The Lord said, listen, boy, bless you. Because you see me and are now convinced. He said, but the real blessing is going to come to them church folk that believe me and ain't seen me. Look at the name and say, I believe. Now, if you're sitting by somebody that can't say they believe, you might ought to move because the bolt of lightning. You know, the reality is this guy, if there's anybody who should have had a grip on this thing, it should have been Simon Peter. But let me tell you how your influence can mess other folk up. It is because he is Simon Peter that when he says, I'm going fishing, the rest of them considered him credible and did also. Look at your name and tell them, don't follow me if I mess up. I don't care if I'm a deacon. I don't care if I'm a pastor. I don't care if I'm a senior trustee. If I'm doing wrong, don't you follow me. Do it like the little kids in school do now. Just say, na 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 na, na 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 na, goodbye. Simon Peter. His old habits are coming back. How many of you know we're running as fast as we can? That our old habits don't catch. Listen, for some of us, it ain't going to take nothing but the scent of perfume of an old girlfriend and we looking for her phone number. Some of us, it ain't going to take nothing but the smell of Hennessy and we on our way back to phase two. Some of us, it ain't going to take nothing but some grits and some gravy and we back on the diet we ain't got no business on, because it's hard to outrun your habit. Don't y'all look at me like that. I know some of y'all stuck on that Hennessy thing. Come on. Grey Goose, Ciroc, Slitz Malt. Have I gotten any of y'all yet? Some of us, all it takes is for the right person to call us and say, hey, I'm bored. Let's go out. Let's have a good time. We've earned it. And before you know it, come on, talk back to me. That's why you got to screen your calls, Jess. Thank God for caller ID. There are some folk that can't call me now. There are some folk on Facebook I can't follow. Y'all ain't talking to me. Tell your neighbor, he close. Old habits are hard to break. And so, the relationship, now this is why Deacon McKenzie ended up in Romans 6, because the relationship between Romans 6 and John 21 is not a stretch.
Because the reality is, what Romans 6 talks about is what happened prior to John 21 that messed them up in John 21 that ends up talking about Romans 6. Preacher, you something. Yes, I am. Listen to me. What, look what Paul says in the first verse. He says, since God's grace has set us free, does that mean we can go back to our bad habits? And he said, no. Y'all didn't shout like I thought you were. Romans 6 makes us decide between righteous and unrighteous. Romans 6 makes us either appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus or make a mockery of it. And it is high time that the elect of God stop making a mockery of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You can't just put on spring white and put on your veil and put on your stocking and dress up and play church over and over again and not face the reality that Jesus died once for your sin. And because he died, you ought to live to the glory of God. Don't nobody care about your suit. Don't nobody care about your hairstyle. We care about your life. So he said, listen, shall we do this? And please understand, Simon Peter, I sympathize with him. I do. I feel sorry for him. I understand him. And at least we become sophomoric and act like it would have never happened to us. Let me just see if I can get you to sit down for a minute and be honest with yourself. How many of you have ever fallen into a bad habit? Oh, six of y'all. All right, the rest of y'all trying to play me. How many of us would have to admit that every now and then the pressure is so intense on us to do the wrong thing that doing the right thing gets even harder? I feel sorry for him. Because he's had a rough day. Listen, can we set him up just a minute? Simon Peter has had a rough few days. I mean, it's been hard on him. The last time we saw him, he was at a low point in his life. Forget about being around the fire and the little girl. Forget about the fact that he has been somewhat set upon because his memory of the things Jesus said to him are disturbing him greatly. I think that John writes the 21st chapter, not that he writes it in chapter, but I think John brings this to our attention because John wants to demonstrate to us that no matter how bad you mess this up, God still loves you. God still wants you back. Simon Peter, you dropped the ball, but the Lord still loves you. And so what he's doing, Dr. Dixon, and I know you can see it, what he's trying to do is just do something that makes him feel better. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever took that drink under the disguise of I just want to feel better? Anybody ever fired one up one more time just because you wanted to? Come on, talk back to me. Anybody ever just had to cuss somebody out just so you can feel better? All Simon Peter wanted was some peace. And he thought that if I can do something that I'm halfway decent at, I'll feel better about myself. I'm just trying to wash away some bad memories, so I'm going fishing. And that's what Paul says in Romans 6. What Paul probably could have said, will we go back to fishing just because we're having a bad day? I can see it, Reverend Muriel. He could have said that because in the Roman letter, watch this, I'm hurrying now. In the Roman letter, what Paul is trying to convince the converted of is that once you have accepted, watch this good preaching here, Wanda, God's grace, God's salvation, and God's greater glory, you can't muddy the waters with your old habits. You cannot keep walking around saying whom the Lord has set free is free indeed, and you keep shackling your own life. You keep putting yourself back in bondage. Ain't nobody's fault but your own. But Paul is saying, Oh, now that you've tasted and seen, you can't go back to your old life. It is for this reason that some of us, when Matt Dillon lets us out of jail, we ought to get out of Dodge. I know I'm preaching good. I'm telling you now, don't worry about Miss Kitty. Don't worry about Doc. Don't be hanging around Festus. I don't know where they got Yuli from. But when Matt Dillon lets you out of jail, you ought to get on your horse and get out of Dodge. That's why the Bible teaches us to run on to see what the end shall be. You can't stay here to see what the end shall be. You got to get out of Dodge. Paul is saying to the church, am I doing all right? Paul is saying to the church, he said, listen, you can't do what Simon Peter did. You can't allow yourself to be handcuffed to habits that will destroy you when God has given you a gateway to greater glory that's going to bless you. I want to be blessed. And so he says, can't do that. And again, if you do it wrong, you're going to come up empty. And it is in this moment that I think Simon Peter realizes, and John is trying to show us, that whenever you do it apart from him, you will have nothing. Yeah. Pastor, what are you saying? Jesus has sacrificed for your life. Your life now belongs to him. Why would you be trying to manufacture and manipulate things on your own power? You ain't never had that kind of power anyway. You were faking it, trying to make it. But now that you're in Christ Jesus, who says you can do all things, who says, ask me and I'll give it to you, who said that you can do the impossible, who says, greater is he that is in me, why would you try and do it the other way? Amen. Apart from me, you have nothing. Here is a God who has given you license to everything. What are you saying, Pastor? I read it, homie. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ. That sounds like license to everything. Can I call on Deacon Bob the Builder? What is Bob the Builder's motto? Can we do it? Yes, we can. That's the church. All this sitting around rolling our thumbs and having planning meetings and prayer meetings and station meetings and strategic meetings. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Why? Because the Lord said we can do all things through Christ. Here it is. You missed it. That's why Simon Peter didn't catch no fish, because they're trying to do it without Christ. He had divorced himself. The Lord didn't divorce him. I didn't hear the Lord tell him, get thee behind me, get away from me. He told him that one time, but he deserved it. But he's saying, listen, you have been called into Christ. And so it is that we change gears, Audrey, because there's an opportunistic moment here. If you listen to the conversation, he said this, Dr. Dixon, and I know you got to get ready to go, but he said, listen, don't you realize that whatever, watch, come on, y'all, don't y'all leave me now. Don't y'all leave me now. I'm going to say it because it's in the book. He said, don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you get involved in? It ain't the pastor's fault that you living like that. You did that. It ain't the choir's fault that you didn't get your happy on in church. You did that. It ain't your wife or your husband or your girlfriend or your homie or your associate, whatever y'all call them nowadays. He said, listen, you better realize that you can be your own worst enemy or you can be the Lord's best friend. Can I talk like I wanna? How many of y'all have gotten involved in some stuff you wish you'd have never put your name on? You've been some places you wish you'd have never left your footprint. You said some things you wish you'd have never said. But Paul says you can break and break for good. Slap your neighbor, high five, and tell him, I'm out of here. But not here, but you know, don't go nowhere yet. He said, listen, don't you realize that? You know what he's saying? Don't be silly. Don't be no fool. Don't play yourself. How many of you know that's the worst play? Is when you play yourself. How many of you ever told somebody, I ain't nobody's fool. My mama ain't raised no fool. Well, you act like you are. Come on, talk back to me. He said, listen, don't you realize? He said, and watch this. He said that whatever you choose. I hear the Lord talking to me. The Lord says, darling, on the day that you hear me, choose me. And some of us are like, we ain't never heard the Lord. Some of us been sitting up in churches now on to 60, 70 years and still jacking it up. Still got it backwards. Still clowning ourselves. And then it's the preacher's fault. That church, I'm leaving. That pastor didn't know nothing. You don't know nothing. How we know? You didn't come to Bible study. You didn't come to academy. Your outfit was so chic and so smooth, you couldn't even carry your Bible that Sunday. Come on, talk back to me. Don't talk about me after church. Talk to me now. He said, listen, you have to choose. Nudge your neighbor and said, I know he's right, but old habits are hard to break. And so it is, I got to hurry. Got about 10 minutes. James helps us. Paul says, you guys, you know, there's a lot. I don't have time. Paul said, listen, you got to realize where you were and now where you can be. And it is not your own travel arrangements you have to make. God's going to come get you. God's going to not only come get you, but he's going to lead you and guide you. He's going to read the instructions to you and make sure that you follow them without error. You ever been on an airplane and the stewardess, you know, pre-flight, come down and stand in the middle of the aisle and tell y'all to pay attention? Y'all ain't paying no attention. The poor lady standing up there talking about what happens if we over the water. You think to yourself, well, we ain't going over the water. They ain't going to pay that no mind. Tell you how to put a seatbelt on. You say, any idiot know how to put a seatbelt. You know, you just keep eliminating all of this information. God help you. The day when they go, Mayday, May, then you're going to be saying, to yourself, well, that pamphlet, it's going to be too late. And so he said, listen, you have a God who has come to save you and has completed his assignment. Pastor, help us. That's why we picked just 6 days hence. So you will realize that the persistent and problematic predicament is that you make poor personal choices. Leroy, you something. Thank you very much. I said the persistent and problematic predicament is you all keep making poor choices. Jesus is not coming back to Calvary. Jesus is not going to sacrifice another thing. He's already paid it all. What you need to decide to do is accept the offer as presented and change the way you walk. Change the way you talk so that you can live holy as unto the Lord. I got 9 people that are saying amen. I need 9 more. I'm telling you now that your life is in Christ Jesus. Jesus has already died for everybody. Can I talk like I want to? It's Lottie, Donnie, and everybody. He didn't just die for the pastor. He didn't just die for the deacon. He died for all of us. And because he died, we ought to live. It's right in the text. He said, so that you can begin the process of living holy. And I'm not talking about holy so much that you leak out every Sunday. You walk in the church, Lord, fill me, and leak out every Sunday. You come to Bible study, Lord, fill me and leak out every Thursday. It's too much leaking around here. Fill me, Lord. And so it is. I got to hurry. He says, all right, James, help him. James says that the Lord loves us so much that when we mess up the first order of grace, I like this. I'm going to try not to shout myself crazy. When we mess up, Elizabeth, the first blessing of grace, when we mess up, Deacon Davis, the first installment of grace, when we mess up, Raven, the first kiss of grace, James said that God loves us so much that he giveth more grace. Jess, can I song one right quick? Harmony, can I song one right quick? More, more, more. How do you like it? How do you like it? More, more, more. Slap your neighbor and tell him, that's why I'm still living. I got more grace. I messed up every now and then, but I got more grace. I lied every now and then, but I got more grace. I cheated on my taxes, but I got more grace. I drank again, but I got more grace. I smoked again, but I got more grace. I stepped on my own feet, but I got more grace. And because I got more grace, God gets more glory. Woo! That's why I shout. That's why I run. That's why I wave my hand. That's why I spin around. Because he deserves more glory. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. The Lord has been good to me. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Woo! Okay. Y'all making me nervous. Hold on a minute. Grace is amazing. Why? Because it saved a wretch like me. I was jacked up, y'all. But oh, look at me now. If my friends could see me now, I'm telling you now, it is grace that has brought me safe thus far. And grace. Look at another name, tell him, and grace. Watch this, I got to go, hurry, watch this. He says, why? Why? He said, because of this grace. Not because you show up every Sunday or every other Sunday, but because of this grace. Not because you can read the Bible a little bit now and not stumble over some of them hard words in the King James Version. But because of this grace, not necessarily because you don't do some of the stuff you used to do. You know, as I used to tell folk all the time when I was in the military, I told them, I don't drink no more, but I don't drink no less either. I figured that'd wake some of y'all up. It's not because of what I do in my self-righteousness, but it's because of this grace. Can I borrow 6 minutes? Dougie Fresh. Here it is. What does grace do? What does grace do? Here's what grace does. Can I give you the points? Maybe I'll finish next week, but can I get you to thinking about? Okay, I'll tell you what the three of them are in case I don't get all three of them. The first thing that grace does is grace delivers on demand. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. The next thing that grace does, and I like this one, Melvin, grace deserves faithfulness and fortitude. It does. It does. And the last thing that grace does, watch, this is the one I love. I mean, I get to it, so I got to tell you now. What grace does, number three, Sister Mitchell, is that grace demands that we pursue the promise. Yeah. Ah, Leroy, can I walk just a little bit here? First of all, it demands. Grace delivers on demand. What are you saying, Pastor? Paul, come here. Paul says, I can tell y'all about Simon Peter. But because I got it through the word, but I can tell you best about me. Can I talk to some of y'all? If you ever want to give a testimony, maybe you just ought to talk about you. Listen, can I help the church cut down on controversies and inviting? Stop talking about other folk. Don't worry about who drinking. Don't worry about who's sleeping where. Don't worry about who did whatever. You just talk about you. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't get me started. Because if I start talking about me, we're going to be here a while. There's some stuff about me the mirrors can't even talk about. There's some stuff that I've done in my life that not only am I ashamed of, I'm afraid to have to even talk about it again. And so it is, what Paul does is talk about himself at one of the lowest points in his life, at one of the most disturbing and difficult times in his divine walk with God. Paul started feeling some kind of way about himself. I don't know, Adrian, what it was. I don't know whether it was too quiet. How many of y'all ever been in that situation where it gets too quiet and you start thinking about yourself? When you all by yourself, when the music doesn't stop playing and all of the crowd is gone, you start having to deal with yourself. Come on and talk back to me. I'm thinking now, Dr. Dixon, that Paul was in one of them kind of situations where he's sitting around and just thinking about himself. And the Bible said that Paul led us into his prayer life. Oh God, I wish y'all had a prayer life. The way some of y'all looking at me, y'all ain't got one. You ought to get you a prayer life. Look at your name to get you one. Paul started praying, Sister Scott. And the Bible says that Paul prayed unto God that God would change his circumstances. But the Bible also says, and it makes God initially come off as kind of cold and kind of callous, you know, because God is a fixer. God is a changer. In other words, God is a regulator. Nothing is impossible with God. I don't know about y'all, but there have been times in my life when I wanted to send God a text on email saying, come on, that ain't right, because you can do anything you want to do. But how many know that God can do anything he want to do, but there's something that God won't do? Y'all ain't talking back to me. Let me see if I can hurry along here. Is there anybody here that can testify that you cried and prayed and fasted and walked and God didn't do it like you thought he would? But let me give you the good news, honey. You're still here. That stuff you were trying to get God to take off your plate, that God didn't take off your plate. The stuff you tried to get God to blot out and erase, God put it in bold and italics. But the real shout is not that God took it away, but God helped you live with it. Oh, help me somebody. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, honey, I'm living with some stuff. I've learned how to deal with some stuff. I'm putting up with some stuff. My husband ain't perfect. My wife ain't perfect. My children drive me crazy. But I'm putting up with some stuff. Why? Because God put up with me. Paul asked God, man, I feel my help coming. Paul asked God to take this thing away. In fact, Reverend Muriel, the Bible says that Paul prayed to God not just one time, not just two times, but three times. As my Uncle Gary would say, thrice he came into the presence of God with humble oblation. He got down. He made sure he got down proper. He made sure his head was bowed. He made sure he had in sackcloth and ashes. And he prayed unto God and asked God to please take this thing away. But look at your neighbor and say, but instead. That's how God answered him, instead. Let me see if I can get my help right quick. I'm going to leave it alone. But can I get somebody to holler back at me? Because God gave you an instead. Oh yeah, he didn't do what you asked him to do, but God gave you an instead. I'm telling you now that the Lord said to him, instead. And what Paul decided to tell us is that God gave him the grace that he needed in his weakness. Let me help somebody right along through here. Please understand that you're not as strong as you think you are. Because when you admit that you're weak, how many, that's when God can start to help you. You really want God to help you? Go ahead and tell God how weak you are. If you really want God to deliver you, go ahead and tell God where you've been hanging out at. If you ever want God to take it away, you got to tell God where you hid it at. Y'all ain't talking to me. I'm telling you now that it is in our weakness that God shows up strong. And I'm so glad to tell you that grace delivers on demand. That's right. Grandma said you can call him up and tell him what you want. Look at your name and say, neighbor, I tried him for myself and I found out that when I call on the Lord, that the Lord will. I say the Lord will. Is there anybody here that can tell your neighbor Lord will, I know that he will. I was sinking in my own sin, didn't think I would rise no more, but I call on the Lord. Anybody ever call on him? I said, have you called on him? Mama said, in the midnight hour, you can call on him. When your friends forsake you, you can call on him, and he will. I said he will. Anybody know he will? Won't God answer your call? I said, I tried him, and I found out he's a way maker, a strong deliverer. He's been my friend. He's been my helper. He's been my joy. Won't God give you joy? Snap your neighbor and say, neighbor, he gave me joy. In the midst of my circumstance, he gave me joy. When I was lying in his face, he gave me joy. When I didn't walk right, he gave me joy. When I didn't talk right, he gave me joy. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say Grace delivers. On demand. All you gotta do is ask. All you gotta do is ask. All you gotta do is ask. He'll hear you. Grace, I'm gonna leave y'all alone. But, can I get you to shout one more time? Can anybody shout because you know that grace is sufficient? Tell your neighbor, it'll get it done every time. Grace is sufficient. I'm still dealing with some stuff, but grace is sufficient. I wish I was better than I was, but grace is sufficient. I wish I didn't fall off the wagon so much, but grace is sufficient. I wish I was a better husband, but grace is sufficient. I wish I was a better father, but grace is sufficient. I wish I was a better pastor, but grace, grace, grace is sufficient. Slap your neighbor high five and tell him that'll do. That'll do. That'll do. It'll get me through. Grace. 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 I'm trying to do better. I want to do better. I pray to do better. But grace, now grace, now grace, now grace. That'll do. That'll do. It'll hold me till he comes. It'll keep me till he comes. Because when he comes, I'm sorry. I wish I could have told you the rest of it. But grace. But grace. Grace. It'll hold me till he comes. It'll hold me. Till he comes. And when he comes, I'm going to tell him thank you. Not for the house, I thank him. But not for the car, I thank him. Not for Brookfield, I thank him. But thank you for grace. Grace woke me up this morning. Grace. Grace. Reverend, they asked the question, have you got milk? I don't care nothing about milk. Anybody got grace? Where my grace warriors at? Where my grace fighters at? Where my grace soldiers at? Somebody just shout grace!
Grace delivers on demand. Paul said, Lord, I'm in one heck of a fix. How many, God help us, how many of us can just kind of find the strength to stand on our feet one more time? Just to witness to this great gathering of struggling folk, well-meaning folk, that I can still get on my feet because of grace. Neighbor, you don't know me like you think you do. Grace hides stuff from people. Grace puts stuff in a lockbox and throws away the key. Grace. Paul said, you Romans don't have no idea where I come from. He said, but you've got to make a decision to stop falling into your old habits. You can't go on sinning that grace would abound the more. You got to sin less, because grace is sufficient. Anybody glad that God don't measure in degrees and percentages? Sin is sin. Adultery, all of it. Fornication, lying, stealing, all of the same. That's why you can look at your neighbor and say, you ain't no better than me. The same grace that woke you up, woke me up. The same grace that looked beyond your folks and met your every need, met me this morning. The same grace that kept your children, keeps my children. The same grace that kept your family, keeps my family. The same grace. And so, God, we thank you today. I've got to let y'all go. I'm tired. I'm right out of breath. Soaking wet here. Y'all just sitting there all cool and springy. I'm tired. Some of y'all didn't help me. You just looked at me and want me to pass out. Well, I'm going to pass, all right. I'm going home. Eat some chicken or something. Listen to me. If you're here today, because you're here today, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, I want you to know there's grace for you. I don't want you to leave today outside of grace. It's free. Don't you ever go to no church, sit under no pastor, no bishop, no apostle that makes you pay your way into the grace of God. You ain't got to get in no line. You ain't got to do nothing but say yes. And you don't have to give your life to the bishop or to the prelate or to the apostle. Give your life to Jesus. Because he's the only one who can save you. And so I don't want you to leave today if you're not saved. If you haven't accepted the Lord's salvation, don't you leave today. Come on, push your neighbor. Tell him, excuse me, I got to get this today. I'm not going to leave the house of God today broken. I'm not going to leave with questions. I'm going to leave sure that I'm saved. And the reason I'm going to be sure is because I'm going to tell him that I want him. I'm going to tell him how much I need him. And I'm going to tell him that I accept his offer. And he won't turn me down. Anybody ever been rejected, turned down? Hurts your feelings, don't it? Makes you kind of mad. Amen. But the Lord won't do that. He said, I won't turn down none. Whoever comes to me, I'll take them. That's how I got in. I didn't come in on no four-star diamond program. I came in under the whosoever. And I was trying not to be too obvious because I didn't want them to look around and see me and put me out. But they got an old song in the church that said, there'll be nobody there to put me out. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, I got in and I'm staying in. Try to put me out of here if you want. It's going to be a ruckus. Amen. If you haven't accepted the Lord today, would you come? I know y'all ready to go. I'm so thankful to God for you. If you've already accepted Jesus Christ, you've done a good thing. The second thing I want to mention to you today, while we still have breath in our body, is that if you desire restoration, you want to get better, you want to walk closer, you want to be able to feel the presence of the Lord. When I was younger, my mother had a simple policy, coach, that whenever we were with her, we had to hold her hand. We couldn't let go. My sister had the hand on the left and I had the hand on the right, and I had to hold my brother's hand. Mama said, don't make me miss you. Any of y'all mama ever said that? Don't make me miss you. Mama said, don't let me turn around and got to look for you. But one of the greatest assurances I had in my life was not necessarily holding my mama's hand, but holding my father's hand. There's something about walking with my father. Big strapping fella. I thought he was invincible. And what I want to tell you today is, if you feel like you're not as close to the Father as you really ought to be, even as you want to be, I can see his hand reaching out to you today and say, come on. Come on back. Get close to me again. And let's walk stride for stride. The Lord says, follow me. But I believe, Jasmine, he doesn't just want us to follow. He wants us to walk right beside him, so he won't miss us. And more importantly, we won't miss him. We'll see him. Anybody know that comfort that when you see Big Daddy, you know it's going to be all right? When you see Daddy stepping out that old Buick, I knew justice was going to be served. And so I want you to know today, if you've drifted away, he'll call you back. He'll take you. And you don't even have to explain where you've been or why you went. All you have to say is, Daddy, I'm back. Read the story. When the prodigal son came home, his daddy didn't take him into the conference room. They threw a party. He said, my son that I thought was dead is alive. Let's set it off up in here. And they did. And that's what God is saying to you today. If you've drifted, come on back. And we're going to have a party. And it's going to last a while. We're going to kill the fatted calf. If you got the pole version of Jesus, you just going to have to kill the old red rooster. But my version is killing a fatted calf. Amen. And then lastly, I want to say to you, if you're looking for a church home, our doors are open to you. They've been open all the while, but we just want to make this certain to you that we're looking to build disciples. And if you're looking for a discipleship life and a discipleship church, discipleship learning and leadership, our doors are open to you today. And you can come and be a part of what we're doing to the Lord's glory. As you think, so you live. If you want a better life, you're going to have to think better. And in order to think better, you got to learn better, listen better, be led better. And our doors are open because Leroy's got it like that. And I believe, God, today that we can help you as you're helping the kingdom life through you. God wants to use you. Anybody want to be used by the Lord? Amen. All right. If everybody's okay right now, I guess we'll get ready to go home. If you'll just do me a favor and reach over and grab somebody's hand. Bible says, as touching and agreeing. If you don't feel comfortable touching somebody, that's okay. We're not going to hold that against you. Because if you're uncomfortable, it kind of breaks the cycle. It takes the energy out of the prayer. Because the Bible says, as touching and agreeing. So if you're not comfortable, that means you're not agreeing. And we've just ruined a good prayer opportunity. Nobody's going to judge you. We're judgment-free zone. Nobody's going to judge you. because you don't hold somebody's hand. But I'm telling you now, if you can, heads are bowed. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your grace. God, we started something today talking about grace. Brought some memories to us, some old things and some good things and some not so good things. And it reminded us of our struggle, reminded us of our journey. We've come certainly a long way. But them old habits, Lord, they die hard. God, I don't know how many times we told you we wasn't going to do it no more and we wasn't going to go there no more. And Lord, we found ourselves right back in it again. And for that, Lord, we are so godly sorry. It may not mean anything to the world to hear us say we're sorry, but Lord, we're saying it to you today because we need to say we're sorry. We're not trying to perform with you, God. We're really trying to get better. These old habits, old friends and old stomping grounds and old dogs and old tricks, and you know. But thank you for your grace. Paul asked us a really simple question. Now, we going to go on sinning just because we got grace? And Lord, today we say no. God, today we pledge afresh to do better. Your grace has delivered on demand. It kept us out of the cemetery. It lifted us from the prison. Got us off the hospital bed. Got us out of rehab. Your grace saw more in us than we even saw in ourselves. And so God, today we say we're sorry. We pledge to do better. We're going to now, Lord, not live as we previously lived, but live new, so that we can begin the perfect process of becoming holy. And Lord, holy ain't going to take nothing from us. In fact, holy is going to open up a whole lot more. It's going to make our marriage better, make us better employees, better supervisors, better sons and daughters. Holiness is about to change everything. And so we can stand in just a few days to come and declare that a change, has come over me. And so God, we ask your blessing upon this people. These who are holding hands, these who have lifted hands, these whose hearts are being mended, these whose consciences have been seared. You made us think. And God, we don't want to go just with a shout. We want to go with substance. So make this worship experience substantive. Make it rich for us. And bless that we might hear again what you're saying to the church. In hospitals and nursing homes, places of incarceration all over this land, make your visitation known today. We have tasted and do see that the Lord is good. Forgive us of our sins and give us this day our daily bread. God, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. Hug at least 4 or 5 people. Say something nice to them. And we'll see you again on Sunday. Maybe even a Wednesday or Thursday. Come on by and share with us that God be glorified. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you.